Jesus is worthy of all praise and honor and glory. Amen. And it's great to celebrate Him, to sing about Him, to worship Him. Good morning. Good to see all of you. Good to have visitors back with us. Glad that you are here. Isn't it good to be together? We all need each other. And let's continue to encourage one another as we continue to grow in Jesus Christ. It's a blessing to be together. I always enjoy getting together with my brothers and sisters, and even when they're kind of hard on me. We had a little excitement down in our tree line here. We have people that camp out in those trees, and they start fires once in a while that get out of hand. And the fire department's getting to know us on a regular basis. they've been very gracious about it. But just pray for our people that are wandering around and trying to find a place, trying to get settled into life. And just pray that we can somehow be a positive influence in their lives, as well as maintain our integrity through the process. Many years ago, in the era of train travel, there was a particular man who was going to go to Nashville to apply for a job as a newspaper reporter. The problem was he was pretty much broke. And so he got on the train and trying to figure out what he was going to do, because along comes a conductor and asked, "Ticket, please." And the man thought, "I don't have one. I'm a newspaper reporter for such and such newspaper," a major newspaper in Nashville is what he announced to the conductor. And so the conductor said, "Okay, come with me to the back of the car, please." And he thinks, "Okay." And so they're walking to the back of the car, and as they're going to the back of the car, the conductor kind of talks over his shoulder to the man following him, and he says, "I'm glad that you're a reporter. It just so happens that the editor of that newspaper is here, and he'll confirm whether or not you are one of his reporters." And the man doesn't have time to respond, because immediately they're right there and beside this well-dressed gentleman, and the conductor says to the man, "Is this one of your reporters in your newspaper?" And the man kind of glances up and looks at him and eyes him, and he says, "Yeah, he's one of our newspaper reporters." "Okay, everything's good." So the conductor goes on to do the rest of his work, and the man's just kind of sweating, you know, and goes back and sits down in his seat. And once the train's moving along quite a ways, he gets back up and goes back to the newspaper editor and says, "Sir, thank you for telling the man, the conductor, that I was one of your newspaper reporters. Why did you do that?" And the man answered, "Well, I'm not the editor. I'm writing on his pass, and I was afraid that you were going to give me away." So both of them were guilty. Yeah, unfortunately, that seems to be going on a lot more over and over again. We see a lot of it in our culture. Lies and deception have been influencing humanity, but it's not new, is it? We read it from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, when Satan introduced lies and deception to Eve and then to Adam. And ever since then, the Prince of Liars, he has been using his schemes against humanity every chance he gets. He encourages us to practice his ways, to become liars and deceivers ourselves, to not follow the path of God. But God demands that those who are going to be his children, to those who want eternal life, need to be a people of the truth, because that is God's nature. God is truth, and he wants us to be a people of truth. He continually warns us against this corruption throughout the scriptures. That's, in fact, one of the Ten Commandments. To be a people of truth is critical. God's nature is to flow into us, and we are to put on his nature and to be a people of truth. Jesus stated that he, like his Father, is the way, the truth, and the life. In order to be one of God's children, we must be a people of truth. As Jesus expanded his ministry, he confronted many people who were hostile towards him, people listening to him, and they just didn't like what they heard. They didn't want to believe what Jesus was saying. They were familiar with lies and deceit, and they began accusing Jesus of being a liar and a deceiver. They questioned his integrity. They questioned his truthfulness as the preacher. And they wanted actual testimonies that gave evidence that he really was the long-awaited Messiah of the Jews. Whose witnesses are there that will stand up for you? I don't want to trust just what you say. I want to have some witnesses. After all, in the Jewish law, it was required that there be two or more witnesses to make something true. Whose witnesses had to meet those requirements in this culture? In our text today, Jesus provides a list of witnesses. Bang, bang, bang. You want some witnesses? Let me give you some witnesses. And I didn't say it quite like that, but he answered their question, and if they were honest with themselves, they should have been just, we use the term blown away, just flabbergasted, amazed at the testimony, the witnesses that gave testimony that Jesus was the Messiah. Will they listen to him? Some would, many wouldn't. Will people listen today? Some will, many won't. But we still need to stand strong that Jesus is the Son of God, the one and only Savior for all mankind. And he died for everybody's sin so that we all have an opportunity to have eternal life. Before we read our text, please join me in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the testimony of the Scripture and of your eyewitnesses who saw Jesus, walked with him, heard him, observed his miracles and his resurrection. We thank you for the testimony of your word that it is true, it is everlasting. We thank you that in Christ, we can place our hope, trust, and belief, and base our lives upon these truths of Scripture. Help us to encourage one another to be faithful to the Lordship of Jesus. Thank you for your Scriptures that record many facets of His life, enough for us to believe. Help us to grow in our belief. For those who are not believers, we pray that they would see the truths and begin that path of belief. Thank you for this time. Lead us and guide us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text is in John chapter 5, verses 18 through 47, rather long passage, so bear with me. I'm going to try to read fast. Hopefully my tongue doesn't get entangled up too many times. This is the New American Standard Translation, John chapter 5, starting in verse 18. For this reason, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but also was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Therefore, Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. And the Father will show him greater works than these so that you will marvel. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so, the Son also gives life to whom He wishes. For not even the Father judges anyone, but He has given all judgment to the Son, so that all will honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes Him who sent me has eternal life, and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in Himself, even so He gave to the Son also to have life in Himself. And He gave Him authority to execute judgment, because He is the Son of God, the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear His voice and will come forth, those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. If I alone testify about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who testifies of me, and I know that the testimony which he gives about me is true. You have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth. But the testimony which I receive is not from man, but I say these things so that you may be saved. He was the lamp that was burning and was shining, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in His light. But the testimony which I have is greater than the testimony of John. For the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I do, testify about me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me, He has testified of me. You have neither heard His voice at any time nor seen His form. You do not have His word abiding in you, for you do not believe Him whom He sent. You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me, and you are willing to come to me so that you may have life. I do not receive glory from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in yourselves. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another, and you do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God? Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. The one who accuses you is Moses, in whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Quite a bit there to cover, but here we have people accusing Jesus, saying, here you are claiming to be the Son of God. Who do you think you are? You deserve to be stoned to death. They refuse to acknowledge that Jesus of Nazareth could be the promised Messiah. And so they are basically coming at him, demanding witnesses. Where are your witnesses that you really are God's Son? So let's look at that list real quickly. In verse 31, Jesus gave his personal testimony as a witness. The Samaritans quickly believed him. We covered that back in chapter 4. But would the Pharisees and the priests believe the statement of Jesus? No, they just are putting their foot down saying, we don't want to believe that you are the Messiah. You're not meeting the standards that we think you should meet. After all, you're from that little village called Nazareth. You definitely could not be the Messiah. Jesus has just claimed that his Father is the Lord God in verse 17 and following. He just justified his healing of the lame man on the Sabbath to the people. He said, I do the same thing that my Father is doing. But their corruption made them ignore that miracle. They couldn't even see the miracle. They were more concerned about keeping the rules of the Sabbath. Didn't even acknowledge that a miracle had taken place. He also claimed God as his father when he cleansed the temple back in chapter 2, verse 16. John has been giving evidences of the Messiah in Jesus Christ over and over and again, where Jesus is claiming that God is his father. Jesus identified himself as the Son of God here in verse 19 and following. Not only there, but also to Nicodemus in chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. We've covered that in the past. Go back and read those verses. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten who? Son. And he's talking about himself. This is Jesus talking in that passage. And Nicodemus was a member of the Sanhedrin investigating Jesus, and he said, "We realize that you are a teacher sent from God," but Jesus said, "No, I'm not just a teacher, I'm much more than a teacher." And he's claiming to be the very Son of God in that passage. He also identified himself as God's Son in several of the parables that he told. If you go back and read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in many of those parables, he uses the illustration of the Son being sent in behalf of the Father. He was talking about himself, and the Jews realized that, and that just made them angry and angrier against Jesus. Jesus claimed the nature of God in his illustrations as he taught, both in private and in public. Claiming to be the Good Samaritan, he claimed to be the bread of life, he claimed to be the living water, he claimed to be the light of the world, the door, the way, the truth, the life, the judge of all. My goodness! How many times does he have to explain to them that he is the Messiah, the Son of God? But Jesus acknowledges in verse 31, he says, "Is it just my testimony? The law requires more than one testimony." So let's go on down the list, he says. And he starts spouting off all the other reasons why he is deity and the witnesses that have proclaimed him. The first one that he mentions is John the Baptist testifying that Jesus was from God. Back in verse 33, we learn how John the Baptist's unique ministry began from the Gospel of Luke. If we have to go back there and read it, we're not going to take time right now, but if you're not familiar with this introduction of John the Baptist, there his father was one of the priests who went into the tabernacle, and while he was in there, he saw the angel that told him that his wife was going to become pregnant, and that son that would be born would be the forerunner of the Messiah. Zacharias didn't believe it. What happened? He lost his voice. And when he came out of the inside of the tent, everybody was, not the tent at that time, it was the temple at that time. When he came out of the temple, they realized something's happened. And when he went in, he could talk. When he's coming out, he can't talk. All he's doing is throwing his arms around. His lips are moving, but nothing's coming out. So they knew something had happened. And then lo and behold, what happens? His wife, Elizabeth, becomes pregnant in her old age. How is that possible? He's an old guy. She's an old gal. It was a miracle, in a sense, a blessing from God. And once the baby is born, when the baby is born, Zacharias' voice comes back. And what's the first words out of his mouth? He glorifies God for what is about to take place. These words, do you think people are going to sit around and say, "And nothing to it. Everybody loses their voice for 9 months, and then they always glorify God when they go or get their voice back," right? The people remembered there's something unique about this little boy, John the Baptist. John the Baptist, when was he filled with the Holy Spirit? While in his mother's womb. So can you imagine being the mother of a godly little boy who is always trying to do what God wants him to do? Perfect little guy, right? Well, he wasn't perfect. None of us are perfect except for Jesus Christ. But he grew up with the knowledge that he would be preaching and preparing the way for Jesus Christ, the Messiah of the world. And he's out there gathering huge crowds. People are coming from everywhere to listen to John and to be baptized by John, hoping for the arrival of the Messiah. Well, he's out there preaching, and then all of a sudden one day, he points to Jesus. John the Baptist warned the people to prepare the way of the Lord. As he quoted the prophecies of the Old Testament, specifically Isaiah 40 verse 3 is listed and quoted in their scriptures. And then the desert preacher called Jesus the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, not just once, but twice. And he points his disciples, his own followers, he said, there he is, there he is. He's the man I've been talking about. There's the Lamb. Now, only God can redeem sin, so this was a very clear statement, a very clear identification to the Jews who understood the sacrificial system. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Lambs are used for sacrifice to cover sin. They would put this two and two together and realize that Jesus was the Messiah. John the Baptist not only identified him as the Lamb, but he also identified Jesus as the bridegroom of God's people in chapter 3, verse 29. Worthy of all the praise and celebration, and Jesus noted that the Jews briefly trusted the words of John the Baptist. Are you going to believe the words that John said about me? Is basically what he's asking them. Do you believe John's testimony? Well, let's go on to another testimony, he says. The very works of Jesus testified that he was from God. In verse 36, he points to his works. What are those works? Jesus is referring to the miracles that he has been doing. Now, the Apostle John doesn't list a lot of the miracles that are recorded in the other Gospels. The book would have been really long. He closes out at the end of John. He says, if I wrote everything down, it would take all the books in the world. There's not enough ink to write down everything that Jesus did, but this is enough for you to know that he is the Son of God. So, Jesus refers to his miracles, and John does include some miracles. We've already covered them. If you remember, the first one was Jesus turned water into what? Wine. Now, it's interesting because John is the only apostle who mentions this in the writings. This is only recorded in the Gospel of John. Does that mean it's not true? No, it's true. But John included that as the first miracle that Jesus did at the wedding of Cana, recorded in chapter 2 of John, showing his power over the elements of nature. Now, John's Gospel is the only one to mention it, but there's also some other ways Jesus proved his power over nature. He calmed the sea with just peace be still. He walked on water. He killed a plant just with his words. And there's some other things that he did as well, recorded in the scriptures. Jesus did long-distance healings on several occasions. We covered this a couple of weeks ago in chapter 4, verse 46, where the nobleman came. He said his son was on death's door, and the son was still 18 miles away. And Jesus said, your son is well. And when the nobleman turned and went back home, he ran into his servants, and their servants said, your son just all of a sudden became well. What time was that? And it turns out it was exactly the same time Jesus pronounced it. And the nobleman believed in the power of Jesus. How many other people believed because of that miracle? We don't know. The scripture doesn't tell us. God knows. And yet these Pharisees and Sadducees, they are refusing to acknowledge the power of Jesus. Long distance healing. Don't you wish your doctor could do that? Hey doctor, I'm not doing very well today. Well, let me pronounce your healing. Only Jesus can do that. The third aspect is Jesus healed the man at Bethesda by speaking to him. We just covered that last week. No mention that the man, Jesus said, do you want to be well? And it doesn't even give the man's answer. Jesus said, rise up and walk. Pick up your pallet and walk. He didn't tell him, you need to believe. He didn't say, you got to go down into this pool and wash yourself. He didn't say, you got to start praying and praying and praying. He just healed the man. Get up and walk. And what did the man do? He got up and walked. Is Jesus limited by our belief? No. He has all power and all authority, and He performed this miracle right before the eyes of all those people. He spoke with authority. Now, the Old Testament law required two witnesses, two or more witnesses. Since they didn't accept the witness of Jesus Himself, Jesus has just fulfilled the requirement of the law. He said, John told you that I was God in human flesh. The works that I do, they are testimony that I am the Son of God. But let me give you some more. Let me give you some more. You're not happy with those? Look out. Here comes some more. The Father, talking about God, the Father of Jesus testified that He was God. Well, we got to do a little bit of thinking on this one. Now, the Jews claimed to be God's people, so surely they would think that God's voice was acceptable, wouldn't they? When did they hear God say that Jesus was the Redeemer? Well, let's go back. How about this young girl named Mary, who was engaged to a guy named Joseph? Did God talk to her? Indirectly, yes. God uses His angels to distribute His messages quite often. And God's angel Gabriel told Mary that she would bear God's Son. Now, that was probably kept under wraps for some time because Mary wasn't married to Joseph, right? And it was a disgraceful thing. Joseph found out and he thought, man alive, what am I going to do with this girl? And he tried to cover it up, and then the angel came to Joseph and talked to him and said, it's okay. This is God's Son that she is bearing. And so Joseph went ahead with his marriage. But God's angels were used. And was it just Mary and Joseph who heard angels? What about those shepherds the night Jesus was born? And the Scripture says, those shepherds heard the heavenly host declaring glory to God in the highest, etc. And what did they do? They went rushing into town and they told everybody they could find. We just saw a bunch of angels out there and they said that this baby is the Son of God. Do you think they're going to keep that under wraps? Do you think they're going to keep that a secret? No. As a matter of fact, Herod found out after the wise men came in and destroyed all those babies, because he was trying to eradicate any competition. Over and over again, we see God's angels speak the message of God. And when the angels speak the message of God, did they ad lib? No, they only spoke what God told them to say. They were as if God was speaking. God spoke at the baptism of Jesus, saying He was pleased, very pleased with His Son. That is recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John the Baptist also testified that he heard God's voice telling him that Jesus was the Messiah. And it's interesting because quite often when God spoke in a public setting, they didn't understand what it was. They thought it was thunder. If you're on a perfectly sunny day and you hear thunder, wouldn't that kind of be confusing? There's no storm around, and yet here's this booming sound. A lot of times the people, when you go back to the record of Israel, they were afraid of the voice of God because it was so terrifying and they couldn't understand it. Their hearts weren't right. And Jesus says specifically in this passage, you don't have God in your heart. You can't even hear Him when He does try to talk to you. So, here we have another testimony that Jesus is deity. Verse 38, Jesus said God's word was not abiding in them. They lacked belief. That wasn't enough. Jesus said, let me give you another witness that I am deity. The scriptures themselves are witness of the deity of Jesus, he said in verse 39. As Jesus had said in verse 38, many Jews refused to believe the Messiah had arrived as this man from Nazareth. No good prophet ever comes from Nazareth, they are saying. And yet the scripture had foretold it. And the people had just ignored the prophecy. Jesus didn't quite stand up to their expectations. But Jesus stood up to God's expectations and God's prophecies. The Old Testament, God's Word, foretold a coming Messiah. Hundreds of prophecies beginning from the very first sin of Adam and Eve, saying that there would be a virgin who would bear a son. Isaiah confirmed it with another prophecy. And we have the story recorded for us, Mary conceiving Jesus miraculously. Daniel's prophecies gave a timetable for the Messiah's arrival in Daniel chapter 9. Very specifically, 70 weeks, each day of the week representing a year. 7 times 70 is 490 years. They were to be ready for the Messiah. And guess what? When you count down from the book of Daniel to the arrival of Jesus, how many years was that? 490. And yet the people refused to acknowledge Jesus. God had foretold the coming kingdom and the exact number of years. Next, Jesus, how about the wise men? If you had a bunch of scholars show up asking you, where is the newborn king? It got all of Jerusalem excited, including Herod. And where did they find out their information? From the scriptures. By studying Old Testament scriptures, specifically Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, talks about the star would appear. The scepter would be in that one's hands. They didn't dream up the story about a star. They weren't following their imagination. They were actually following the Shekinah glory that God provided, leading them from the Far East to exactly where Jesus was born. That wasn't enough. Let me give you another testimony about me that I am Messiah, Jesus says. Moses wrote of a coming prophet greater than himself. And this is the passage that was read at the beginning of our service. From Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15 through 19, God told Moses specifically, there is one coming greater that is from your people that will be the Messiah. Moses was honored to be one of the greatest spokesmen. The people, in a sense, worshiped Moses because he was the great lawgiver of Israel. He was the one who brought the message of God to the people, wrote it down for them. But God foretold one that was coming that was going to speak the very words of God in everything. And that the people had to obey how many of those words? All of them. This prophet, like Moses, would be a fellow Israelite, a countryman from the tribes of Israel. Specifically, we learn later, from the tribe of Judah, from the family of David, and the list goes on of the prophecies. All of this prophet's words would be directly from God. Deuteronomy 18, verse 18. Just as when God spoke to Israel from Mount Sinai, it would be as if God was speaking directly to them, but not in that terrifying voice. The gathering at that mountain terrified Israel. And they said, we can't handle this, listening to your booming voice. And remember in the passage it said, those people are probably pretty smart. It's probably better that they not listen to my booming voice, but I will send one who will speak all of my words, and they must listen to him. God warned Israel to obey every word of this coming prophet. Under the Old Testament law, failure to obey God's law meant certain death. The same is true of the coming prophet of God. If you fail to obey the words of this coming prophet, you will die. Jesus had already told Nicodemus of the consequences and the failure to obey his words. Turn back, if you would, just there to John chapter 3, verse 18. Jesus is speaking. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. If we don't believe the words of Jesus, we have no other option. We will be judged and condemned and cast into the lake of fire with Satan and all the powers of evil. Go back to verse 27 through 29 there in John chapter 5. And he gave him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice, and he will come forth. Those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. Who calls them from the grave? Jesus. Jesus, when he comes again, all the dead will rise. Those who are fellow believers in God will be glorified, honored, and given eternal life. Those who are not in Christ will be condemned forever. It's our choice. Will we believe all the testimony? Jesus said, "You want some witnesses? Let me give you five outside of myself." Bang, 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 bang. Will you listen? Will you believe? Look at the evidence. And that question still rings today as we share the message of Jesus with the world around us. We have plenty of evidence that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior. The greatest one is still yet to come, the resurrection. How do you explain that? A mutilated body laying dead in a grave for 3 days, and then by himself coming out of that grave in power, glory, and majesty, seen by over 500 witnesses. And these guys gave their life as testimony, saying, "Jesus is the Son of God." If there are any here today that don't believe in Jesus, please reconsider. If you are a believer in Jesus, strengthen your faith. You've got the witness. You've got the testimony. And share that with people who are lost. They need to know before it's too late for them. Amen? If any of you have any questions or concerns, please feel free to come and visit with me or any of the elders afterwards. We'd be glad to visit with you and discuss the scriptures. And let's just continue to grow in the knowledge of God's Word, the testimony of God's Word, and the truth of God's Word, that Jesus is the Savior of the world, and he's coming back. We need to be ready. When he comes back, we will be rewarded forever. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Thank you for resurrection. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you for your scriptures. Thank you for the witness and the testimony that is recorded for us to believe. Help us to grow in our belief, in our steadfastness, and in our boldness to be your witnesses with the people around us. Guide us with your wisdom, with your strength, with your truth. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.